The following is a presentation of the Belly Up Sports Media Network.
Ball sends it over to Edward Robles. Go and Surname FC!
What is up, everybody? It's Hector Flores, host of the Insert Name FC podcast, a member of the Belly Up Sports Media Network. You can find us on all things podcasting, Apple's, Pandora, I was about to say Snapple, Spotify. Also, you can find the video version on YouTube. Make sure you guys subscribe because, like I mentioned, there's currently a jersey bet going on that involves Olympic Leon and Sevilla. The bet was that they were supposed to, if they both avoided relegation, I'd be doing a jersey giveaway. It seems more than likely that that's going to happen. So, hint, hint, it's going to involve YouTube. So, you guys might want to subscribe already on the YouTube channel at Instagram FC. And also, you can find us on Goals TV, a streaming service, if you will, of soccer content here in the U.S. So, episode 168. I'm actually re-recording this because I don't know what happened with the audio, but it didn't sound right, and obviously I don't want to give you guys an inferior product, and I still have plenty of time to record. So in this episode, we're going to have overreactions and headlines, which is going to feature Jose Tellez of Goals TV. So lots of fun always to have him there. But we have some great headlines to discuss. Overreactions are very funny to listen to. And then you'll hear the recap. Yes, you'll have the recap for the Gold Cup. Not Gold Cup, the Nations League. The Nations League, but it's more so also a, you know, obviously after the U.S. men's national team plays, we always do a breakdown of their international break. So kind of ipso facto recap of the Nations League final, but more so an assessment of the international break for the U.S. men's national team. Announce our players of the week, give you guys some games to look forward to this coming weekend. And we're going to have a five-a-side draft with Ryan McCarthy of No Credentials Required, a member of Belly Up Sports. He joins to do a five-a-side draft. The topic is brunch items. So I will give you a heads up if you have not eaten, which I wish I thought of that when we did this draft. Maybe eat before you listen to that part because I was struggling just because of the fact that I hadn't eaten at that moment, and talking about food did not help. So just giving you a heads up there. But that's how the show's going to go. Should be a lot of fun, man. Yeah, man, just another great episode of Insert Name FC. So I'm super excited for you guys to listen to that. So thank you so much. And yeah, let's get going with the show. So we're going to go ahead and take a break, and then we'll go right into overreactions.
Are you ready to elevate your sports betting experience? Look no further than DraftKings Sportsbook. Why choose DraftKings Sportsbook? Unmatched variety. Bet on your favorite sports leagues or discover new ones to follow. Live betting. Test your instincts and feel the adrenaline as you bet in real time while the game unfolds. Promotions and boosted odds. DraftKings keeps the excitement going with a range of promotions, odds boosts, and special offers. And a user-friendly interface. Whether you're a seasoned bettor or new to the game, DraftKings' intuitive platform makes placing bets a breeze. Ready to dive in? Belly Up Sports has partnered with DraftKings Sportsbook to give you an exclusive offer. Sign up at dkng.co/bellyup150, and new customers will get $200 in bonus bets instantly when they bet $5 or more. Don't miss out on this opportunity to take your love for sports to the next level. Sign up today and let the games begin. Please gamble responsibly. 21 years or older. Eligibility restrictions apply. See website for details.
All right, guys. Make sure you guys follow Insert Name FC on Instagram, Twitter, at Insert Name. Fuck it, text. at insert name FC. God damn it, Elon.
Elon, man, he did it. He did it to all of us, bro.
Your obsession with the letter X. Like, I mean, it's a cool letter. I can't be mad at you, but it's a cool letter.
Yeah.
Also, check us out on TikTok, insert.name.fc. Obviously, lots of always try to put clips from episodes here. Bro, I got attacked for the Real Madrid video, the clip that I did about Real Madrid. What? It's fucking Manchester City, for starters, but like...
Bro, Madridistas don't want to hear that. They're not the underdog ever, you know? And I got a feeling when I saw it, you were going to get attacked.
Dude, this guy literally messaged me on Facebook. Well, commented on Facebook from a shared profile. I was like, bro, you should not be messaging. Bro, you giving me material, bro. Don't do this to yourself. Like, I love him. It was funny as shit, too, because I saw the name Evelyn, which is... One of the rare cases where an ex-girlfriend actually turns out to stay be friends. And so I saw Evelyn, so I was like, huh, she's, I guess, cool. She's supporting the podcast. That's awesome of her. And then I saw Evelyn and then I was like, oh. I got this simp over here, like, trying to roast me for going on this whole tangent about Real Madrid. But I did say I was going to believe, so I just want to point that out.
Should have asked him if he had permission to do that first. I mean, it's a shared profile, bro. You never know.
Yeah, so I was just baffled on that one. That was funny. That was a good one.
It was, bro. It was a great clip.
Yeah, man, great content all around. Also, shout out to Majib. But obviously, check us out on social media so you can see some of the great interactions that I get on that stuff as well. But yeah, always kick this off. We got Jose Tejas from Goals TV here coming in because, once again, I hate talking to myself.
Just, I'll talk to you, bro. I'll talk to you all day.
Yeah, you know. Wait, thank you. I don't know where to go from this.
I got you, bro. We're gonna this will be a hell of an episode. I'm ready for it.
All right. So obviously we gotta start things out with overreactions. Jose, you got some juicy overreactions, bro, from this international break.
I'm locked in. Look, we're recording on the eve of the Nations League final for CONCACAF. So I'm gonna say this. Hearing Greg Berhalter, for anybody who hasn't seen it yet, the clip has to be everywhere by this point on social media. Go check it out. Greg literally went into a press conference right after the Jamaica game, and this man had the audacity to call out. I'm pretty sure it was a podcast. I'm pretty sure it was the one Jesse Marsh did with Conrad, right? With Jimmy Conrad. And if you haven't seen that clip, all Jesse Marsh and Jimmy really suggested was whether or not they asked the question, right? Does Gio deserve the chance, for whatever reason, to be called up? Just considering, we all know the story, right? He hasn't gotten that many minutes at the club level. And at this point of call-ups, you know, with the national team, do you want to set that precedent? I get where they were going from with the question. No one said he shouldn't be at camp. This man... That clip must have lived rent-free in Greg's head. He took that clip after barely scraping by Jamaica's B team, and that's the first thing he addressed, was that, oh, I heard, you know, folks out there were saying that I should have called up Gio. Well, look what he did. Brother, Gio saved your job. And I understand why you feel the need to give him props for that, but that is not what you should be addressing at this moment in time, when you've barely gotten by a Jamaica team that did not have Leon Bailey, did not have Mikel Antonio, several other players were missing. Bro, you need to get your shit together. Part of me was hoping that USA would lose that game to Jamaica so that we could get rid of Greg and get somebody else in here so that we do not get embarrassed at Copa America. Now, that fear is real. And if we lose the Nations League final tomorrow against Mexico, those talks need to be resurfacing whether or not Greg should be the coach of this national team. I've seen a lot of discourse on... it's X, right? Not Twitter, on X, regarding, you know, whether this man needs to be the man moving forward. He should not. I'll put it point blank out there for everybody right now. Greg Berhalter is a decent coach. He is not the coach. He should not be the manager. And for those who are saying that the players just didn't play good enough, they're still following direction from Greg Berhalter at a high level, playing the game that he wants to play. This man has never seen success at any point of his coaching career, in my opinion. The most he's seen has been with his national team. And frankly, the only top 20 team he's beaten has been Mexico. I I just can't do it anymore. I can't. This is my overreaction, Bryce. I don't even think it's an overreaction. It's just a reaction. This man, stop focusing on the wrong shit. And since you're all into watching podcasts, I hope to God this man sees this insert name FC clip, because at the end of the day, I'm not going to be the only one that's calling him out, especially if he doesn't go out there and win the game tomorrow. So look, man, the last thing you'd be doing is tuning into all this noise around you. Focus on the damn job and get it done. And just move out of this weird funk of a cycle that you're in, man. Seriously, you should not be paying attention to any noise that's being made on independent shows or podcasts anywhere. Period.
You good?
I'm good. I'm good now, bro. That shit tilted me. Whenever I first saw it, bro, I was just like, it doesn't make sense, man. Could you imagine, bro? Imagine Pep Guardiola going out there, right? I can't even think of how many shows are criticizing Manchester City season in and season out for not maintaining the same bar of excellence they've always maintained. They have dips in the season like any other team does. Imagine this man goes out there in press conferences and says, oh, I heard these podcasts that were talking about us that said I shouldn't have started Grealish or Foden or whatever. That doesn't give a shit. Neither should any other top-tier manager. This was the, like, I don't know, bro. This was the biggest little man syndrome effect I've ever seen in a manager up to this point. Like, it was wild, bro. Wild. But anyway, I don't want to go on a crazy 10-minute rant.
Nah, I mean, honestly, like, it constantly baffles me that they hired a search committee. I just want to remind everybody that it's not even a fun fact. There's nothing fun about this fact, but there was a search committee that they hired to find the next U.S. men's national team coach, and I don't even think they went with the committee decision. I think they just were like, fuck it, Greg Berhalter. And crazy to think that, like, literally a year ago with the interim managers that we ended up, you know, tossing around in this period when we were still trying to figure out who was going to be the coach, the U.S. looked completely different. It was the combination play, seeing what Gio Reyna and Balogun and having Pepe come off the bench, you know, what this team could be what this team should look like, that we all been, you know, all this USA hardos are thinking that this is our golden generation.
Yep.
And like, finally we saw, like, oh, this is what it's supposed to look like. And then Greg Berhalter gets hired back on, and then we have a very disappointing Gold Cup, which, I mean, it's a Gold Cup, you know. Take it with a grain of salt with how you rate that trophy. Also, take a grain of salt with how you rate the Nations League as well. But it's just time and time again that Greg Berhalter has proven that he is not the guy. I've never liked him. I think his brand of game is very boring. He has favoritism.
It's crazy to me. I mean, it's like, if you think about, I'm telling you, bro, if you go back and look at this man's history as a coach, and this is someone who's empathize with Berhalter at certain steps along the way, right? I believe consistency is key for any manager to be successful. But, bro, he wasn't successful in MLS with several different teams and sides. So much so that, like, all it took was 2 years removed from Greg Berhalter for the Columbus Crew to win MLS Cup. He couldn't do it in Europe in a second division league, which again, I'm not going to shit on second division leagues anywhere in Europe. And football's competitive no matter where you go. But it's like, brother, you don't have any... There's nothing for you to flex. There's no point for you to make in these press conferences. Address what happened on the field, move past it, and prepare for the next game. That is your job as the manager. It's not your job to be addressing any banter, any sticking points, any talking points, whatever it may be that fans or, frankly, other pundits are putting out there. That is not your job, bro. And that's what my gripe is about. But beyond that, like you said, Hector, this is just, I don't believe he's the guy. And if we don't find a way to move on from him, this is the kind of football we're taking into Copa America. If we're doing this against Jamaica, what's it going to look like against Argentina, against Brazil, against any Uruguay? Uruguay is in our group, and that's a massive, massive game where if we play like we did against Jamaica, we're getting shit on. Like easily. Like, Uruguay will easily take a dump on us because of just how we play, not because of how great they are, but because it's so easy to I believe pick apart this rigid looking U.S. team under Berhalter, man. Berhalter ball, it has to go. But my sticking point for the rant today is bro, just do your fucking job. Just do your job. You're not there to address any banter or shit talk. Manage the team, get them to win, ignore the rest. Like that's it, bro. That's it.
Yeah, man. I need him to focus on the game more so than his kicks that day. As well.
Facts. Like, big facts.
Yeah. You know what? Give me a boring manager. Give me somebody boring. Like I don't need someone that needs to have a shoe collection. Like, you know, whatever happened to penny loafers? Like, I mean,
let's Max, like, bro, give me some out there Jesus sandals. I don't care. Like, whatever it takes, man. Like, I just don't need a swaggy buddy manager that's trying to play pep ball, and not even pep ball, but just this rigid Berhalter ball that doesn't really make sense for the team that we have. Just go out there and put together the formation and the players and the tactics that make the most sense for us to win. And we saw that a little bit, like you said, without him in the picture. I don't know, man. I go back to square one maybe a little bit before the summer. I'm not sure, but we only have a few months to figure this out.
Yeah. I also think he's got like a complex right now where he's like, he feels really bad that everything almost went on the wayside because of Gio Reyna. And so I think now it's just like, see, I love Gio Reyna. What are you guys talking about? You know what? Gio Reyna is my guy. You saw what he did. You know, like.
Man has to stick up for him in public. Yeah, bro, 100%. And just to show Gio probably, right? And we all know he has the quality. I'm not questioning the call-up. I just let this man do work. Let this player, right, and Gio Reyna do work. And I would say that that's the case for the entire midfield, the entire attack. Let them loose a little bit, right? Because right now what we're seeing, man, it's just not it. And the last thing I want is for any CONCACAF team to get embarrassed in this Copa America. And right now, it's looking like that might happen.
Yep. Yep, definitely. Definitely. So, don't worry. We're definitely talk some more, you know, we'll hear more Nations League further down. Is obviously, I'm going to definitely have to recap the final. So we'll see how that turns out. Yep. But my overreaction, and obviously, you know, I'm an American, America. Also, technically, I'm a hero because I served in the military. But don't thank me for my service.
Absolutely. Thank you for your service, Hector.
Fuck you. But I'm also a Salvadorian. And it was funny. El Salvador yesterday, actually, they played against Argentina. They lost 3-0. The most impressive part was that Argentina scored 3 goals. It should have been more. So,
had to make up for that Inter Miami friendly, bro.
Yeah, man. You know, we scared Messi. So, you know, he was like, he had to fake an injury in order to avoid us at all costs. They'd be glad it wasn't in El Salvador. So,
facts, bro. He would have got, I think,
man, it was weird.
It was weird.
It's weird having all these friendlies here, like even like Honduras and I think was it Honduras and Guatemala, they played here in the U.S. Like everybody, mm-hmm. for some reason, all the CONCACAF teams like, yeah, let's just play here in the U.S. Like it's more convenient that way, I guess. But yeah, this has been a rough international break for El Salvador because they start things off with a 1-1 draw against a team, a nation called Bonaire, which that sounds like an airline more than a country to me. So. That was rough. I'm like, okay, well, I don't know who the fuck this country is. Sorry to anybody that's from Bonaire. I'm sure it's a lovely country. I'm just angry at El Salvador right now. So just bear with me. I will apologize, maybe. But
we're not mad at the people or the country itself. It's simply a rant at El Salvador.
You drew against a country that sounds like an airline. So, I mean, that already was a red flag. You know what? I'll say respect. You guys held Argentina to 3 goals. That's impressive. So, you know, and it's funny because one of my coworkers at work, because I was watching like the first half at work. We finished our work, guys. I got the job done, but we were watching the game, and he was like, "Do you guys really think El Salvador can beat Argentina?" Me and the other guys, also Salvadoran, were like, "No, nah,
no.
We're Salvadorians. We support Brazil." So it's just us watching and just thinking like, hey, at least our jerseys look cool. So I mean,
and you're also asking yourself, wouldn't it be cool if, you know what I mean, like, hey, it'd be really cool if this happened, but at the same time, we're all realistic to an extent as fans.
So yeah, so to at the end of this international break for El Salvador, there is one more game on Tuesday against Honduras. So, and I've said this multiple times, I don't care how, like, I don't care if you lose to a country that sounds like an airline. I don't care that you got this, should have probably got destroyed by more by Argentina. If you do anything, please, to God, do not lose to Honduras. That's all I'm asking. I'm probably going to insert like a clip that will fast forward where I'm either depressed or happy, but we'll get there when we get there. So, yeah. El Salvador drew 1-1 to Honduras. They had the opening goal in the first half and then gave up the tying goal. But props to Honduras. Honduras in that second half was definitely the better team. Probably could have scored a second goal. So, El Salvador's international break, which consisted of three games, which is crazy to think when you think about that. But you drew against Bonaire. I already said what I said. Apologies to the country of Bonaire. You guys, I saw some pictures of Bonaire. It's a beautiful country. Maybe one day I'll go visit. And then a 3-0 loss to Argentina, which expected. Probably could have got more goals scored on them, but at least you look cool in your jerseys. And then, of course, now, hey, 1-1 draw to Honduras. Yeah, doesn't feel good at all. This is rough if you're a Salvadorian. This is rough in general because there was so much hype around what El Salvador was doing, and you're going to turn away a lot of the guys that you worked so hard to switch over to the Salvadorian national team. I know the young player that from LAFC, he might not be coming back. So yeah, this was a rough one. I think this was but it was needed. I think this is the reality check that, okay, you know, let's be honest. I want to say this is the reality check El Salvador needs, but let's be frank. They've had so many reality checks that clearly it has not fazed them at all. So maybe this will change everything. Maybe it won't, but, yeah, man, this is going down a spiral that I am not mentally prepared for, because I know it's very similar to what happened in Guatemala. And I know that Guatemala eventually did have their glow up, but I am not that patient. So El Salvador, the Federation, y'all need to fix this. Like, this is not where El Salvador should be at. I know we shouldn't be competing for gold cups or anything like that. I know that that's not where we're at, but we should be at least a good staple, a good representation of Central America. And we're not right now. And I said it in an earlier episode of Insert Name FC, but we have let Guatemala pass us up. And I think that's a big statement from that one. And then, you know, we've been pretty good being toe to toe with Honduras, but, and even when Honduras is at their lowest, they're still a better side than El Salvador. So yeah, this fucking sucks. But continuing on. yeah. So if you do anything, please, please, for the love of God, someone figure, we had a coach from Spain for like a week and then left. Everyone was like, oh my God, the guy knows Pep Guardiola. This guy knows Luis Enrique. Dude literally pulled a Grandpa Simpson, walked in and walked right out. He said, I don't blame him either. So it's just like, it's rough. It's rough. It's rough being a Salvadorian. I'm hoping Bukele could just take over the Salvadorian Federation after he's done fixing El Salvador as a country, which he's done a tremendous job of. Maybe he could fix El Salvador's football team too while we're at it.
Yeah, we'll see, bro. I don't know. And Hondurans are going to, man, I just came from, you know, the Canada versus Trinidad game. It's a doubleheader, you know, speaking of all these CONCACAF, you know, Nations League games and friendlies in Texas or in the States right now. In Texas, there's quite a bit, a lot going on. I was just at the Canada and Trinidad game. That game was kind of crazy. Canada 2-0. But, bro, the amount of Hondurans at this game, ready, locked in, 3, 4, 5 hours early, cooking the carne asada, getting all that ready to go, getting the chance ready, bro. I mean, this felt like a World Cup qualifier to an extent. Like, I don't know, man. They're going to be up for this game, and I can only imagine if they're up for the Costa Rica match, El Salvador is going to be different, bro. Just all the way around, it's going to be vibes, straight vibes. I mean, in the best way possible, competitiveness. If you're a neutral fan, just ready to, for two teams to lock in, it's going to be a good one.
Yeah, it's always good. It's a rivalry game. Yeah. It's always a good time. This game is such a rivalry that even a war started from this.
It didn't happen.
That's not the whole story. There's a lot of backing that happened before the before the game happened, but just, yeah, it was only convenient. Okay, it was just an odd coincidence that after a Honduran El Salvador game, the both countries decided to go to war with each other. Weirdly coincidental. But
Derby's a derby, man. It's got Ukraine Russia vibes, man. Maybe not that bad. I don't really know, but maybe not that bad.
We're peaceful now. You know, we got pupusas, they got baleadas. We're good. So we're all hunky dory there. But
hell yeah.
But I'm sorry to my friend Harold. I know you're a proud Honduran, but I need El Salvador to whoop your asses. Okay, so I just need this. I need this because El Salvador hasn't won a fucking game in I don't know how long now. And it's depressing, especially when everything else in El Salvador is great. So it's like there's the
believe Hector, believe, bro.
There's the trade off. We're free from crime, but we still have a crappy soccer team.
Hell yeah. I like that. It's a good trade-off. It's a good trade-off.
Yeah, that's true. But all right, so that was a funny way to end our reactions. All right, guys, so headlines. So the first headline, obviously, new kids drop. You know, obviously the Euros are coming. Copa America is coming. The Olympics, which obviously that has nothing to do with these kids. But or maybe they do. I don't know. Olympics is weird.
Yeah.
But we got new jerseys. We saw the Adidas jerseys. Argentina, French chef's kiss, amazing, beautiful.
Absolutely,
jersey.
Bro.
The golden three stripes. I didn't even think that was a. I didn't even notice that until they had like a zoom in on it, and I was like, man, that's just class. But we won't talk about jerseys till the tournament start. But anyways, but all the jerseys drop. Nike. I'll say something nice about U.S. soccer. It's growing on me. It's growing on me.
Really? Is it?
Okay, well, look, I'm a Real Madrid fan. Of course, I'm going to like the white jersey.
Sure, it's like a plain white. Bro, I'm not going to lie. Maybe it's a hot take. I miss the Waldo kits.
I hated those.
I'm not going to lie. I miss the Waldo kits, bro. And I think
I liked those more than I liked the bomb pop? The bomb popsicle?
The tie-dye away kits, we rocked them against Jamaica in the Nations League semifinal. From distance, bro, they look terrible. Like, this white stripe that diagonally goes down in the middle, it doesn't look good. It's like some weird off-centered sash that doesn't make sense. A whole lot of blue, very minimal white and red. It's got, like poor man's bomb pop vibes to me, in my opinion. The white one's not bad. It's a little plain. I just missed, I don't know, bro. The Waldo one, it spoke to me as, like, tried and true America, you know what I mean? Like USA kids. I'm not, a lot of people on the timeline saying, hey, for those who like those, they probably like the most American things of all time. We should have had a bald eagle on our kit, you know, shit like that. I'm not going that far. I'm just saying that it was representative of the United States men's national team. It really was, bro. And now these white kits aren't bad. It's just that they're very, very, very basic. And the away kit is ass to me, but you know.
No, that's exactly it. So here's the thing. Am I going to buy them? No. the real criteria for me when it comes to a U.S. soccer jersey is am I rocking this on 4th of July as I'm getting shit-faced watching fireworks and possibly shooting some fireworks? And the answer is no. So
it's probably too plain for that, to be honest, bro. You probably go a different route.
Also, if somehow I end up having to grill, like, that's a lot of a risk there, especially on the white fabric department. The tie-dye, yeah, it just isn't going to look right. I got my black Christian Pulisic jersey. I'll just rock that bitch instead.
Hell yeah.
But yeah, the jerseys, the white one's growing on me, but obviously I'm a Real Madrid fan, so anything white I'm probably going to like anyways, unless it's fucking Tottenham, because fuck that team.
What about the Barca white kit?
It's not that bad.
Yeah, it's not that bad. It threw me off when we threw a white kid. I was like, well, what are we
it's
trying
not,
to do here?
It's not good, but it's not bad.
I agree. It's not the best kit, but I just thought, like, what are we doing? Like, an all-white jersey? Like, what the fuck? Anyway, it's like, who do we are, Madrid?
What, next year, Real Madrid's going to come out with a blue and red?
You know, imagine a blue and red. Like, what the hell are we doing?
We're just trolling each other now?
I know. It's like I dare you to move, brother. Yeah,
good luck with your Barca branded jersey.
Yeah, it's fucking weird, bro. Wait for Barca to go full Adidas, man. I heard that rumor this past week too. It's gonna be wild.
We're gonna see Adidas socks.
It's gonna be weird, both Real Madrid and Barcelona potentially being Adidas if we don't go with Puma. It's gonna be really weird. Germany also going with Nike in 2027. Anyway, I don't want to get too far off track.
That's gonna be weird, especially because Adidas is that's a German company.
Yeah, bro. That's like their. If there was like a kid that Adidas had along the way, this is their firstborn child. Like in every sense of it, Germany is like just who you. And Mercedes and Adidas are the two brands I associate with Germany more than anything else. And to hear that they're going with Nike after 2027, I mean, they might have just downgraded, bro. They dead ass might have just downgraded on kits.
I don't know, some of these Nike jerseys, I'm surprised that they even signed that contract. That money must have been really nice.
Crazy money, guaranteed.
But speaking of Nike, so this is going to be the first headline. So Nike, you guys made some weird decisions on some designs. Some look cool. Some look a lot. I'm going to say a lot. Some look good. A lot just don't look good.
Just questionable. Questionable.
Norway. What the fuck is that? I'm just going to be honest. That was the first thing I wanted to think about.
What if that Norway kit was US's kit? Would you rock it?
That's a good one.
Right? Because it's got like the red, white, and blue stripes. And the thing is, like, it doesn't blend. So it's very, very hard vertical stripes that are all different colors.
Isn't that pretty much the FC Dallas jersey?
That's what I'm saying. I said that whenever it came out. I was like, bro, it's got strong, strong Dallas vibes, man. Strong Dallas vibes.
I mean, I could see myself on 4th of July.
yeah, that's the one occasion where like it's okay to wear something that questionable. 100%.
It'll definitely go great with my back to back World War Champions hat. So, but so Nike pissed off England, which is impressive. There are certain things that unites all of England, and that's the English national team. That's honestly the only thing that unites all of England. So one time you'll see an Arsenal and Tottenham fan both agree on one thing.
Yep.
So like it's crazy. And look, Nike, I get it. You're gonna go and do some crazy designs. Just don't say what the design's supposed to be, because that's exactly what pissed them off. So the Three Lions fans are not happy at all with this new Nike kit. And it's off of one thing. It's nothing else on that kit that's offensive except for the one thing, which is on the back of the collar. You can't even see it unless you are Mr. Fantastic. There's no way you can see this, but on the back collar, there is a cross, which Nike did say they took some liberties on the St. George's cross, which if you guys don't know the St. George's cross, that's literally the cross on the freaking English flag. They took some liberations on it. Was it vertical?
Yeah, the vertical part of the cross, the staff, whatever you want to call it. Yeah.
Is red, and then it's some weird blue and purple, kind of looks like the FC Dallas jersey, actually, when I think about it.
They had to have gotten approval from the FA, though, right? Like, they had to have before rolling that out. Like, England FA had to have said, you know what? That looks good. I like the uniqueness of this kit. Like, as much as the fans want to get upset about it, bro, like, I don't think Adidas manufactures any of these or gets the go-ahead with the design unless they get approval. So, I don't know. Blame the FA?
Yeah, maybe? It's definitely that. I think, also, you just got to learn to, like, explain it without pissing anybody off. And honestly, there's a lot of people that are tired of the woke culture. And obviously, when you say that the reason why you did like some liberties with the St. George cross, which one, just don't say it's the St. George cross, just say, well, we decided to do a cross.
Yeah.
But when you use the words unite and inspire, you're gonna lose the lads here when you say those things. Yeah, you pissed off England, but because it's a little wokey woke. But I will say this, though, despite all that, there's still jersey sales, because let's be honest, England is still going to buy England gear.
Yep. And you're gonna be rocking the kit that your team's wearing in a massive, massive tournament coming up for England. Like, I haven't seen this much pressure on them to win the whole thing in a while. I know everybody shouts since the 60s that England's, that it's coming home, right? So, like, yeah, I think, like they're going to be in there. They're going to buy it. As much as they complain, I guarantee you they went to Twitter with their Twitter fingers and immediately popped up a tab on their browser to go search for the kit and see where they can buy it. So you're going to rock it, at least for the most part. Most of the fans will. And, you know, it's going to be a big summer for them.
And plus, once again, you can't see. Also, obviously, England and Brazil played. Brazil won 1-0. But Harvey Elliott, he covered up the collar. It looks like a turtleneck. I don't know what was the. It looks more like he's trying to hide a hickey than hiding the cross. But
yeah, man, I don't know. It's a weird vibe. It's a weird vibe all the way around.
Nike, you should have just not mentioned it was supposed to be the St. George's cross. You could have avoided so much.
Just bro, the marketer or the copywriter that was putting that together was just thinking, hey, you know what, bro? I'm just explaining the inspiration. I want them to be bought in why we did this. Like, I'm telling you, bro, the FA approved all of this. They should have just maybe been a little more careful with it. I don't know. But I think at the same time, fans just want to complain. So I'm not as mad, but I'm not English. So, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing about jerseys. It's like there's no real way to spin zone it. Trust me, as a Houston Dynamo fan, I've heard this purple jersey has gotten some controversy behind it because it's lean.
But bro, who cares? Like, I just think, like, it's cultural, you know? And I think at the end of the day, man, like, if you can find a way to tie it back into the culture, whether fans get upset about it or not, whether people don't want things to change, that's just how people are wired. It's one kit, you know. If they do it for this one, but not the next one, are we ever going to remember and, like, look back at this? No, man. Just support your nation. But I agree with you. You could avoid this whole thing by, at the end of the day, just being a little more careful with one of the most reactionary fan bases on the planet.
Yeah, yeah. Because especially when you have someone calling it bollocks, which apparently now I learned that's a cuss word. And I was just like, why is this being censored? Why is the word bollocks censored? I guess I gotta start censoring bollocks now whenever I do clips.
Is that bad?
I have no fucking idea. I don't know what the fuck bollocks means, to be honest.
I consider it like bullshit. No, I mean, that's kind of how I feel. Yeah, it's like literally bollocks. Like, someone says something crazy, right? Bollocks. I mean, I don't. Maybe we should bleep it out. I don't know.
I guess that and humbug we should start bleeping out now. So,
yeah, I don't know, bro. I don't know.
You stay being England. That's all I gotta say. But bringing it back to the U.S., man. So, the French man Olivier Giroud, who just seems to get better with age, he is interested in a move to the U.S. Obviously, that means MLS. That's where he wants to go, and everyone's losing their shit. I mean, Eli Lesser was definitely excited about this move because, let's be honest, it's Olivier Giroud. Probably one of the most underrated strikers in the game right now. I really wish Arsenal chose him over other options at the time. But
to be fair with Giroud and Arsenal, because I'll be honest, bro, I have a love-hate relationship with this man. And I mean that in the best way possible. I always supported him at Arsenal. I love the idea of Arsenal getting him from Montpellier. I love the idea of him coming to MLS. It's just that there were just times, man, where, like, you kind of wanted something else, maybe someone to compliment him a little bit on the pitch, because he is a very particular type of striker, right? Not fast, but always not fast, but has a great touch, always seems to be in the right place, and can score just as great with his head as he can with his feet. Like, he offers you so much at the ripe age of, what is it, 38, 39? I don't know how old he is now. 37, some shit like that. He's in upper 30s. I think that he is going to do damage in MLS when he decides that it's the time to come. If it's this summer, great. If it's LAFC, fantastic. Because right now LAFC does not look that good. So I'm thinking that he's going to be just fuel for that offense. And Bawanga, provided that he doesn't move to Europe, him, Tillman, Bogush, the crew, they're gonna find a way to feed him as much as humanly possible.
Yeah, because I mean, if you think about it, which LAFC is sold to be the front runners, obviously his homeboy Hugo Lloris,
yep,
is over there in LAFC as well. Once again, as long as he's not driving, we're fine. So Maybe that, hey, Olivier Giroud, maybe he's DD. But
fair.
But obviously there's a DP spot, right? Available for LAFC, you know, Carlos Vela. I think at this point it's safe to say he is. I don't know where he's going, but it's not back to LAFC, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think it might be the Quakes. We'll see what happens with Vela, but at the end of the day, bro, I mean, someone's gonna get Vela, and it's gonna free up that spot with LAFC. My question is, what happens to these Griezmann rumors that he may also work his way over to MLS? And I was told that, you know, Inter Miami doesn't really have anything left in terms of slots open to bring in another major player like that. So I think of LAFC immediately, maybe the Galaxy, right? We talked a lot about in the past about the Galaxy kind of piecing together their team in a unique way, and maybe it's to open up spots for guys this big. So who knows, man? But I could see Giroud in LA, whether it's the Galaxy or LAFC. I could see it. Galaxy need him less than LAFC do, in my opinion, because they have guys like Jovalic. And I don't know if they're going to bring in someone who's aging after getting rid of Chicharito. So LAFC seems to make sense, bro. But if those Griezmann rumors heat up heading into the summer, I don't know. I think it's kind of pick one or the other, and then we'll see what happens to that second attacker. So I don't know.
I'm just going to say this, man. Summer. Glenn Davis did just drop a bombshell just recently, saying that the Houston Dynamo are actually going to be signing a young French striker. So, I mean, Griezmann's pretty young. I mean, I think he's a
ripe age of 32. Yes, sir.
Yeah, man. You know, prime of our lives. You know.
Yeah, the 30s are your 20s now, bro. You can do it all over again. Another decade in MLS, easy.
You know, like what's 32 now these days? You know, like
I'm 33 and I feel great. I feel great.
I'm in the best shape of my life. I
mean, hell yeah!
Ain't
hell
nothing yeah. stopping me now except for food, but.
Or at this point in my life, I mean age, but with that said,
or El Salvador. So
yeah, or El Salvador, yeah, bro. Any one of my teams, in all honesty, could put a stopper right then and there. But yeah,
you
bro,
know, there I was mean, a tweet that came out that I saw pop up on the feed, and it said like, "What would you rather see, your country win the World Cup or your team win four Champions Leagues?" And I really thought about it for a second because I was like, "Of course, the fucking World Cup."
Yeah.
But then I really thought about it. If USA or El Salvador won the World Cup, I'm probably going to do some things to my body that I'm probably not going to survive after that. So
that might be it. That might be it, bro.
I think it's probably for my sanctity. I think I'm okay with Real Madrid winning another four Champions League titles.
If that's bro, no. I mean, I'm telling you, bro, but how amazing would it be to see either US or in a crazier scenario, El Salvador just go to a World Cup final. You imagine the level of nervousness, excitement, hype. I might not even sleep the night before, bro. I can't even.
There's going to be a lot of babies 9 months after that.
Oh my God, bro. Oh my God. As someone who, again, who supports Arsenal as well, and we don't have a Champions League, and I would love for Arsenal to take home that King of Europe crown. It just wouldn't even compare to the U.S. winning a World Cup, bro. Even if it wasn't our soil in 2026 or whatever, like that. Oh my God, man! The amount of just shithousery that would take over my entire body would be insane. Yes. Insane.
So maybe for our safety, maybe I might still be willing to risk that though. I'm willing to take that risk for the country. Yeah. I've done it once; I could do it again. All right, so the final headline is the shithousery that happened in the Trabzonspor Fenerbahce game. Fenerbahce won 3-2, which led to the ultimate rage quit of the century.
Yep.
I did mention this like at the beginning of last week's episode because it was literally as soon as I was about to press record, it popped up on my phone. I read it. All I read was fan got his ass beat by player. And that's probably not what ESPN said. In Hector terminology.
But that's still crazy, right? To see that headline and be like, hold on, what? Just like, let me take a step back. Hold on. Let's see what happened here, bro.
Traps the Spore fan found out.
The man literally didn't make it out of the hood alive, bro. That's crazy. Like, that's insane to me. I mean, it's insane. I did you dig into the whole story? Because I'll be honest, bro, I was all about the action on the pitch. I didn't even go into like what happened, why the fan felt enabled to go out there. Like, fans do a lot of crazy shit, man. We can't ignore that. Like the amount of abuse, and I say abuse in quotes, right? Because it's verbal abuse more often than not, but every now and then you see some crazy shit. Fans feeling like these people aren't even fucking humans, and they go out there and you're ready to throw hands, not realizing these are world-class athletes that you're charging up, and you're probably a few beers deep. You probably aren't even the best shape that you've been in for quite some time. Why would you think you had a shot? Like, what would enable you to think you had a shot?
I don't know, but so I thought it was just one guy that went onto the field and was just like, you know, ready to fight off with a guy named Bright Asai Samuel. What a name. But so he's ready to like throw hands with this guy. And I like I said, all I saw was that clip that like that. I didn't even see the clip. All I saw was the headline that Travis Before fan got beat up by a Fenerbahce player. And I was just like, oh, well, at least it's one guy. But no, it wasn't just one fucking guy. Immediately after that altercation, fans just stormed onto the pitch.
Snowballed.
And, yeah, obviously, luckily, no one was harmed. I mean, except for the guy that got his ass beat. But, I mean, everyone else, you know, they got back into tunnels. But, yeah, it's obviously, this is a very important game, right? Trabzonspor and Fenerbahce both trying to get into a good position in Turkey. I think Galatasaray is running away with it. Don't quote me. I don't really watch the Turkish league that well. But if I was to assume, I think Galatasaray is kind of on a run right now. I think. Don't quote me. Maybe you should check.
And this
is where Hector goes and Googles.
I got you. I can find you. But in the they're running away with it to an extent. They are they're clearly at the top of the table, but they're only 2 points ahead of Fenerbahce. These are two of the top three teams in the Turkish Super League.
Yeah. So obviously all these matches are important. And I believe it was actually a 2-1 game. It wasn't until like late into the match where Fred scored the tying goal, I believe. And then I think it was Bakayoko. It's a former Chelsea and a former Manchester United player. You know, go in and score the goals to put Fenerbahce on top at the end of the game. Maybe there was some controversy behind it. I don't know. But obviously, once again, the magnitude of this game mixed in with fans, mixed in with alcohol. This is the shithouser that you're going to get from it. It's just a recipe. I mean, I feel like since I started recording Insert Name FC back in 2020, it's just been nonstop, like, incidences popping up of fans, you know. The second episode of Insert Name FC was us talking about Martial and PSG, where the fans turned out and started, you know, fighting each other. So it was just like, and then, I mean, Querétaro happened as well. So,
Jesus, yeah, bro. I mean,
it's just been a snowball of just fans, Manchester United fans sneaking into Old Trafford. It's just been, since this podcast started, it's just been fans just been acting at their worst behavior. Which is great for me. It's content. But I mean, like,
we could probably blame Insert Name FC, to be honest.
Yeah, I think it is honestly my fault. I should probably, you know. I mean, I'm like the definition of shithousery, so I can't really say much, but
we're here for it.
That is, yeah. But it's just now with social media and everything, obviously now things are getting more up in the air like that as it is. But it was insane. Obviously, there's going to be an investigation. I'm not sure what the punishment will be. I mean, I feel like the same parameters would be kind of similar to what happened with Martial, where I'm guessing there's going to be a certain number of matches that they can only play with no fans on the pitch. Yep. So, yeah.
Teams have been punished for less. I will say that you look at like what's coming up, right? The Champions League tie between Bayern Munich and Arsenal. Bayern can't travel for that. And it was for way less. They were like, you know, blowing fireworks or flares onto the field, and it was creating a dangerous scenario. And now they're not allowed to go to the away leg, that first leg for the Champions League tie. So teams have been punished for way less. There's definitely going to be an investigation, and someone's going to be hung out to dry for this in terms of punishment. But like, bro, fans are getting ballsier. Like in all honesty, bro, they're getting ballsier. I think we saw it even last season when you know, if anyone watches the Premier League, you know, there was that North London derby where Arsenal won. But there were like Tottenham fans behind Ramsdale that were like, one of them ran out and like tried to fucking kick him. while he was over there by the net, bro. I'm like, what the hell are you doing? Like what are we doing, bro? I'll go back to what I said before. Do you really think you want to fuck around and find out? You really want to test yourself physically against a world-class athlete? Like, come on, bro. Like, I know you've had a few beers, but ain't no way you really think you had a shot. No way.
Yeah, I'm gonna take something that came from part of my take. Obviously, that's a podcast I like watch. I like listening to. And they had this dumb rule idea more towards the NBA, because also shithousery happens in the NBA as well. If you guys want to, just Google YouTube Malice in the Palace.
Oh my God! Shit, watch the 30 for 30. Watch the 30 for 30. It's wild.
Yeah, insane. But they brought up the idea that the player, like each NBA player, has. I think they said like they're allowed to fight up to 3 fans per season. So at any time, if any fan wants to talk shit to them, they have the right to like stop the game and just fight this fan. I think the same rule needs to be applied just in sports in general.
Some hockey type shit. The way the refs are like, hey, you know what? Everybody back up. Duke it out. Go ahead. and winner stays on. The winner stays on the pitch.
Just straight up, just like, hey. And now as a fan, you're like, I don't know. Do I really want to let – how many they still got going on left for the season? Down to one?
Imagine, bro, you get the last game of the season. You have one left. Like, bro, I'm knocking somebody the hell out tonight. Tonight's not the time. It's going down, bro. You just walk in shit talking the fans hard.
I'm getting relegated. I'm getting relegated. Fuck this. Get over here.
Yeah, I want all the smoke today, bro. 100%. 100%.
Yeah, man. So, interesting year for fans. You know, it was crazy to think that France kicked this all off, by the way.
Actually, to me, it's not super crazy. I mean, Marseille PSG is wild. You know, Marseille has got a couple of those rivalries out there in Ligue 1. But yeah, man, look, some of these fan bases have ultras, and we talked about, you know, this incident happening in the Turkish Super League. If there's a lot of us that don't pay attention to the Turkish Super League on a week to week basis. But if you watch these teams and these fans travel for the Champions League, brother, it's The ultras are so insane. Like when teams have to go into Istanbul and try to get a result, it's so difficult to do it. So you know these fans are always tuned up, ready to go, ready for any shit that goes down. It puts a lot of other countries to shame. And I mean, like I said, I think that fan kind of fucked around and found out.
Yeah, that's definitely what it is. But that is the headlines, man. Obviously, thank you so much, Jose, for coming on and preventing me from talking about myself. So that's always great. But this is your time, man. If you want to shamelessly plug anything that you want that's going on at Goals TV.
Now, I'll have more to plug later. This is not my last cameo on Intern MFC. All I'll say this, bro, is go check out Intern MFC on Goals TV, bro. Go watch it, man. Hector's bringing this show to our platform. A lot of other content creators doing the same. I love doing these shows with Intern MFC. They're always a great time. I get to fully be myself, banter, debate, do everything in between. Yeah, bro, this pod is doing things, man. So if this is your first time listening, lock the fuck in. All right, this is a hell of a show. Keep tuning in and week out. A lot of great content coming from this show, and hopefully I can be a part of it along the way. So again, Hector, thank you very much, man.
Yeah, no problem, man. Hey guys, this is Hector from the Insert Name FC podcast, here to tell you guys about Canadips. It is a great tasting superior alternative to traditional dip, using CBD in a way that is radical, enjoyable, and effective. It comes in 5 core flavors: wintergreen, mint, citrus, mango, and American spice. Canadips CBD is the new evolution in dip, allowing guys to enjoy great, long-lasting taste without the downsides. If you guys want to go ahead and try them out, use the code BELLYUP20 at CanadipsCBD.com. Once again, BELLYUP20 at CanadipsCBD.com, and you'll get yourself 20% off your purchase. Thank you again for Canadips for being a great partner of Belly Up Sports. And we're back. Thank you so much to Jose to come on and co-host Overreactions and Headlines with me. Always fun to have Jose on. Great personality. Go ahead and check out Goals TV, man. It is amazing what they're building over there. You'll find me as well on some of their content. And of course, you're going to find Insert Name FC also for content reasons over there. But USA. So obviously, every USA international break, we do break it down. And so we got to talk about that Jamaica game. So USA beat Jamaica 3-1. It went to extra time. USA had 78% of the possession. USA had a total of 25 shots. 7 of them were on target. Jamaica did open up the goal scoring in the first minute mark with a goal by Greg Lee. USA then followed it up with a own goal from Corey Burke in stoppage time, in regulation time, which then led to extra time, which that's when we saw the two goals from Haji Wright on the 96th and the 106th minutes. This game was very overwhelming. Any USA fan would say that very same thing. It was a very overwhelming performance. Obviously, then you had Greg Berhalter going on his little tangent where, look, I mean, everything that, you know, obviously Jose said what he needed to say, was all that needed to be said was from what Jose's tangent was about Greg Berhalter. I'm not a fan of Greg Berhalter. I've made that very clear from a very long time now that I'm just not a fan of him. I don't think he is the manager for the U.S. national team. He does some good things. There's some positive results. But obviously, when it comes to it, when it comes to the upper echelon competition, i.e. the Netherlands, i.e. Spain, i.e. Italy, i.e. Brazil, he just does not get the job done. And I'm still concerned about it when it comes to Copa America. This Jamaica game should have been less overwhelming than it needed to be. And kind of what I mentioned earlier with Jose, like when we think about last year, when we were back in this scenario all over again, the U.S. men's national team looked so different on the attack-wise. It looked very complementary. It looked like what this core of players is supposed to look like. And so it's disappointing when we know we have the quality on this roster, and because of coaching is the reason, because of what Greg Berhalter's system is, it's just like it's not looking the way we want to look, where it's supposed to look like. But he is the man. He is the coach for right now. Do I feel confident about him going into Copa America? No. Especially with the group that USA is going to be in, which will have Uruguay, just to name one country. I'm drawing a blank of all the countries that are in there. But sorry about the yawn. But it's just like, yeah, there's so much uncertainty, so many question marks behind that. But then you have this game, USA beat Mexico 2-0 in the final. Which now secures their three-peat for the CONCACAF Nations League. So since the CONCACAF Nations League has started, USA has been able to win the final every single time. Obviously, now beat Mexico twice. They beat Canada last year. I'll get to my point. I'll get to what I want to say about that before I get there. But USA had 53% of the possession. USA had 11 shots. 6 of them were on target. And the goals came from Tyre Allens, who scored a banger goal in the 45th minute, and Gio Reyna, who, you know, it was just well-played shot. This is what we were, you know, like, no one's questioning Gio Reyna. Nobody is questioning, like, the only reason to question Gio Reyna is because of the fact that he's just not playing matches for Nottingham Forest. He wasn't playing really many matches over at Borussia Dortmund. And obviously, it's hard to defend Gio Reyna. Because of the lack of minutes, and everyone's just like, and I hear this from just random banter that I have with coworkers or random banter with anybody that like, is Gio Reyna really that good? And I tell you, I hold Gio Reyna to a very high regard. I think that this kid has so much potential. I think he's going to be one of the best players that U.S. men's national team has ever had in its history. There's so much potential with him, but the problem is obviously injuries has hurt him a lot. And now that, you know, Borussia Dortmund, which I do question why Borussia Dortmund doesn't play him, because when he has played for Borussia Dortmund, he's proven to be very valuable. But then goes to Nottingham Forest, where he has a very limited role, kind of similar to what Matt Turner. And I think the positive result from this international break has been for Tyler Adams and for Matt Turner, who guys that don't really play that much for their club right now, which is now Nottingham Forest, both playing for Nottingham Forest, by the way. And they're able to come out with two positive results. I honestly, the Jamaica goal, I don't blame him too much. I think there was a lot. It was a clear defensive error. I also don't want to blame Joe Scally on that at all either. But he was the guy closest to it. But I think that was just poor marking in general. But it was just poorly put in that situation, just in general. But like, but in the end, only allowing one goal in this international break. So I think Matt Turner was able to get out of it, get out of a pretty solid shift nonetheless. But like, yeah, it was just one of those weird things. But yeah, positive result. Tyler Adams, honestly though, I just want to give his flowers right now, because once again, Tyler Adams, another player that I hold to a very high regard. I personally have donned him the captain many of times. Now here on Insert Name FC, I like everything about Tyler Adams. I think he has all the capabilities of being a very solid leader. He's proven in the 2022 FIFA World Cup that he is a solid leader. Just go back to that Iran interview that he had, the Iranian press conference that he had, because I mean, I'll be honest with you, I don't think I would have handled that as professionally as he did. I would have definitely gone off on that guy. But that's just me. But like, kind of just coming, you know, the fact that he's been out for such a long period, some people questioning whether or not he still has it. And to get the start for this game, obviously he didn't start the Jamaica game, but did come in and get some minutes. But then comes into the Mexico game, starts, and then at the end of the first half, puts in a banger of a goal. Real statement, I think. I know I was also one of those people that was prepared to move on to Johnny Cardoso. But I think it's just because of the injuries that Tyler Adams has gone through. But I think Tyler Adams has still proven to be a quality player. I think he is. There is a lot of value in him. Though I think that he just needs to go to a place where he's going to play. And for him, his situation in Bournemouth isn't so much Bournemouth's fault. It's just that he was injured. So I don't think that necessarily that's any to blame. I think once he gets regular minutes, we're gonna see what he's capable of. I just don't know if he's capable of being a top league player, if that makes any sense. But I don't think it matters where these guys play. I just need them playing, just point blank. And I think for Tyler Adams, so way to statement for him to score that opening goal, and then Gio Reyna, kind of needing that. Like, this is what we need to see from Gio Reyna. We don't need, you know, Greg Berhalter to announce anything, take shots at what Jesse Marsh said. I'm already not a fan of you. So, like, focus on the games. Like, that's what you should be mad at. Who cares who anybody talks about in any podcast? Like, the fact that you're taking time to even address that just shows me, like, where your priorities are. And I don't like it. Like, I already don't like you, and you're just adding more reasons for me not to like you. You know, focus on the game. Focus on these matches, because, like, you know what? You should be, you know, they beat Jamaica, but it was a very overwhelming win. This Mexico win, it's like, that's one of the things that I hate so much about Berhalter, though, is that you have this very overwhelming performance where it's frustrating. You question everything that this man does stupid decisions, then does dumb things like in the press conference saying, you know, addressing things that Jesse Marsh said, or talk about how we dominated even though we lost, which is, you know, reference to the Netherlands game. And then you go out and you have this performance against Mexico. Can you just do this in a consistent level? Do this better, man. That's all. Especially when we're going in Copa America, man. Like, I'm still not certain how this Copa America is going to go for the U.S. because I don't know what I'm going to get from Greg Berhalter. It's just a Jekyll and Hyde situation. There's going to be some good and there's going to be some bad. You can't pay me to believe in Greg Berhalter. I'm just going to say that. You can't pay me to believe in him. There's no way. But aside from that, you get another trophy, and this is probably the other rough part, is that this just now, if there's any Greg Berhalter stance, which I don't think there really is, but if there is, this is going to be like the validation for him, because now he's won another trophy. which we're talking about Nations League here. Depending on how you feel, where you rate Nations League, that's going to be another conversation for another day. But, like, mind you, this is a trophy we won last year with an interim coach. I just want to point that out. So, like, is this really an accomplishment for Greg Berhalter? Because this has now just become the status quo now for USA. It is now an expectation to win the Nations League. It's going to soon be an expectation, or it should be an expectation to win Copa Oro, Gold Cup. And so, Copa America, I need a statement, man. I need some sort of statement performance from him. Because I'm not buying it. I'm not sipping the Greg Berhalter Kool-Aid. And it's gonna be a very long time before I start sipping that Kool-Aid, because I don't want to touch that with a 10-foot pole. I don't believe in Greg Berhalter. I believe in the players. I just don't believe in Greg Berhalter. I know the players will find ways. But also, I just want to say this before I wrap this up. But obviously, also the other thing is the ninth situation. We just don't know. We don't know. Is it Haji Wright? Is it Balogun? Is it Pepe? I have no idea now. You know, obviously, Haji Wright has an amazing performance, which, I mean, I mentioned it. He did have a solid game before going into this camp, having to come fill in for Josh Sargent, who got injured. So to take in that role, comes in, scores two goals. I think this just brings up more question marks for the ninth situation. Like, is it Ricardo Pepe? Is it Balogun? Is it insert whoever the hell name you want to think of? I think if anything else, we got more question marks behind the nine position. So yeah, USA is going to be an interesting Copa America to see how all this transpires, because while it's positive, I'm happy. One, I'm always happy when we beat Mexico. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I love when we beat Mexico. But like, it's just like, this isn't like a real like bragging point now, because Nations League, once again, I'll tell you right now, I'm just one of those guys that doesn't really value this tournament. There's some value, there's something that you can make from it, but like, it's just not going to have like any oomph until we see other countries. Oh, man. Sorry. It's like 11:21 right now, so yeah, it's pretty late. But yeah, I mean, the thing is that CONCACAF needs to get better, and until then, this tournament is just gonna be USA versus Mexico or USA versus Canada, so or maybe Canada versus Mexico. So till then, I need to see more competition. The competition level needs to elevate in CONCACAF, and I know that this is kind of been the beating of a dead horse, but it's just really what it is. But aside from that, USA beats Mexico. I know some people were kind of hoping that if Mexico won, Greg Berhalter would get fired. Also, I guess we should just mention it, but the homophobic chants again happened. Like I said, man, I've said it multiple times. I'm tired of saying it now, but like, It's just not gonna stop. It's not. It's really not. And it's not like I'm saying that as like I'm supporting it. I understand that this is like just putting us backwards every single time when we do it, but it's just like, this is like taught from generation to generation, and it's a generational thing. So like, I don't know what to tell you. It's gonna continue to happen. You need like, FIFA just needs to straight up just punish. That's what they need to do. Just straight up just flat out punish a team, a nation. Just ban them from any competition. I don't know what you need to do, but just make it so significant where like everyone's like, crap, I don't want that to happen to me. Because they keep using Mexico as an example, and I'm tired that they're using Mexico as an example, because like a lot of countries do the same thing. So like, it you know, if you make FIFA, just, you know, just put your pants up and actually make a statement, like ban somebody from a tournament. You do that, and that'll immediately end it. At least that's what I think we'll do. It'll happen. But we won't. I don't know. It happened. But congratulations, USA. You beat Mexico 2-0 to win your third straight CONCACAF Nations League. So there you go. Players of the Week. Players of the Week is brought to you by SeatGeek. SeatGeek is a ticketing site. It has tickets for all kinds of events, whether it's theater, sporting events, music, anything, as long except for movie theaters. SeatGeek has you covered. It has a very simple grading system. It is a color system. If it's green, that means it's a great deal. Go ahead and buy that ticket. If it is red, it means go ahead and look elsewhere. You're going to find something better. So if you want this to be a little bit sweeter, if you guys use the code BELLYUPSPORTS at checkout at SeatGeek.com for your first purchase. It's a first-time purchase only special. But if you guys use the code BELLYUPSPORTS, it'll take $20 off your first purchase. So there you go. Thank you once again, SeatGeek, for being the presenting partner of Players of the Week. Players of the Week. Edwards' Player of the Week is Florian Wirtz, who scored the goal in the first goal in Germany's 2-0 victory against France. It is also recorded as the fastest goal in Germany's history at 7 seconds. So what a goal. What a statement victory for Germany, especially when you're going up against France. A big statement for them. It's a lot of confidence to go into that Euro that's going to be hosted in Germany. So I think that's a big win for the Germans right there. And that's Edwards' Player of the Week. And my Player of the Week is Tyler Adams. I mean, the dude scored a banger of a goal at the final. It was, you know, you got to give respect to it, man. Amazing goal. Just so much significance for that goal, by the way, too, because obviously, kind of like I mentioned, he's been dealing with injuries so far this season. Guessed his call-up for the U.S. men's national team. And a lot of people were thinking that he was probably going to take a lesser role into this one, being that Johnny Cardoso kind of viewed as that future six now. But Tyler Adams comes in, scores a banger of the goal outside the box, and makes that real statement going into that second half for the U.S. men's national team. So huge confidence boost for that one. So obviously Tyler Adams is featured for this one. So congratulations to Florian Wirtz and Tyler Adams for being our Players of the Week. Once again, if you guys use that code BELLYUPSPORTS at SeatGeek.com for your first purchase, it'll save you guys $20 off your first purchase at SeatGeek.com. So thanks again, SeatGeek, for being the presenting partner of Players of the Week. We do have some games coming up this weekend. We have Austin FC versus FC Dallas. Both teams need to find some form, so we'll see if they can find it against each other. And also, we got a Cascadia matchup here with Vancouver Whitecaps and the Portland Timbers going on. That's going on in the MLS. In Liga MX, we got Pachuca versus Toluca and Monterrey versus Chivas de Guadalajara. You know what? I'm going to take this time to mention it. I just booked got my tickets for the Tigres Inter Miami game that's going to be played at Energy Stadium. I'm super excited because I got a really good deal on that. Got some good seats to go potentially see Messi. Hopefully we see Messi. I don't know. Hopefully we do. In Ligue 1, we got Lyon versus Stade de Reims and Marseille versus PSG. In the Bundesliga, we got Bayern Munich versus Borussia Dortmund. They're classer. It's obviously a big matchup. We'll see if Borussia Dortmund can help spoil Bayern Munich's chances. And we got Bayer Leverkusen, who is still undefeated, still has yet to have suffered a loss in the Bundesliga, taking on TSG Hoffenheim. So is that streak going to continue over there in the Bundesliga? In the Serie A, we got Lazio versus Juventus and Fiorentina versus AC Milan. In La Liga, we got Girona versus Real Betis and Real Madrid versus Athletic Club Bilbao. Obviously, Girona still up there in the standings, still trying to compete with Real Madrid for that top spot in La Liga. In the English Premier League, we got Liverpool versus Brighton. The reason why I highlight this matchup is because obviously there's a lot of rumors about the manager for Brighton potentially being the next manager for Liverpool. So I'm sure there's going to be some conversations there. And we have another singing bet matchup, Manchester City versus Arsenal, me versus Spencer. We'll see how that turns out. Obviously, Spencer on top of the table right now. I'm sitting in second place right now. So this is a big, big matchup here, trying to get me fighting for that first place spot in the singing bet competition. Obviously, also a loss would do wonders for Edward to compete to get out of that last place spot in the singing bet. This will also be the last year that we do the singing bet competition. So, yeah, so we'll see how that pans out. But, all right, those are some matches. Obviously, it's not all the matches that are coming up this weekend. But if you guys need a good beginner's guide, this is the start where you want. So we're going to go ahead and take one more. We're going to take one more break, and then we'll go right into our five-a-side draft with Ryan McCarthy of No Credentials Required.
Righteous Felon Craft Jerky is the official jerky of Belly Up Sports. For over a decade, Righteous Felon Craft Jerky has led the American meat snack revolution by concocting delicious, adventurous, U.S.-sourced jerky recipes for uncompromising carnivores across the country. With 15 different flavors to choose from, Righteous Felon has all jerky lovers covered, and by using promo code BELLYUP, you will get 15% off your purchase at RighteousFelon.com. Do your taste buds a favor today and rip into a bag of Righteous Felon jerky.
All right, guys. So we are joined with the voice of the SeatGeek ad, by the way. So if you guys want to know who is the voice behind it, we have Mr. Ryan McCarthy of No Credentials Required. He does a lot for the network. Actually, I think you and me were competing for Creator of the Year, I think, this past year.
Not this year, probably last year, though. 2022.
Okay. All right. Never mind. So I was on 2023.
That's okay.
I was on 2023s, but you were also a contender because your social media is also awesome. So obviously, Ryan, also congratulations on the new subscriber count over here on YouTube. Make sure you guys check them out. No Credentials Required. Awesome, awesome podcast. But of course, thank you for coming on. And the topic for this draft is brunch. Obviously, if you guys don't know, No Credentials Required on Saturdays have a brunch segment, I guess, an episode.
Well, we just call it the Saturday brunch. It's a catchy title for a Saturday program. So, but yeah, maybe someday we'll do a brunch. We'll do a live stream from somewhere where we have brunch.
that'll be some content right there. But yeah, so they have the Saturday brunch, which is one of their recordings that they usually have on Saturdays. Make sure you guys check that out as well. And you always bring in a whole different amount of guests. I need to find time. Like, it's like always that weird time where I'm dropping my mom off for work. So it's just like, I'm like, am I going to really speed my way back home? So I'm going to try, though. One of these days, I'm going to go on, come on, No Credentials Required. But obviously, also know Ryan through Corner Booth. We've been on Corner Booth plenty of times now. So it's great to have you on. But this draft is brunch items. Anything that you see at brunch. If you guys don't know what brunch is, it is a combination of breakfast and lunch. It is brilliantly done. And so brunch items, I feel like you can combine anything that you would expect from a lunch or breakfast, but you get to combine it as one. So it's a good mixture of all things. Now, normally I let the guests pick whether they want to have the first pick or not, but Ryan went ahead and told me that he wants to do a coin toss to decide it. So what's it going to be, heads or tails?
Since I'm the guest, I guess I'll pick. So I'll pick tails, because tails never fails.
All right. So I guess I got heads.
Oh, hang on. It fell. It's tails.
All right. You get the first pick. So.
Woo. All right. With the first pick of the brunch draft, Ryan McCarthy of No Credentials Required will select Belgian waffles.
That is a strong pick right there.
It just can't be like it can't be any old waffles, like Eggo waffles, which are, you know, which we'll do in a jiff. But you gotta get the waffle maker, get the batter yourself, or if you're at a restaurant, like they make the waffle stations, so they sometimes have like nice hot buttery waffles with some little bit of syrup on there. Gotta get the syrup motion going. So Belgian waffles, that's my number one pick.
That's a good one. I'm liking that Ryan's choosing food. My first pick is actually going to be a beverage choice that a lot of people like to use for brunch, and that is, of course, is the famous mimosa. Ah. So now we know where we stand. I think Jared's rubbing off a little too much on me now.
Got the influence, man. He's got that influence.
But also enjoyable. Also drink responsibly, because after a few mimosas, things can happen. For my number two pick, it's also one of my personal favorite items, and that's of course is a Southwest omelet. You had jalapenos, you had some, it's a good combination of everything. So I guess I'll just be saying omelets in general, but Southwest omelets is my personal favorite.
Understood. All right, my number two overall pick is bacon, because when you go out for brunch, you open that tray, and the rainbow appears, and the chorus Angelorum sings, ah, you know it's gonna be good. It's bacon. Bacon is my number two pick.
What a value. What value. I'm over here sleeping right now. I'm not making these right picks. All right. So what's your number third pick?
All right. My third pick, and I'm going the beverage route this time. And I know you mentioned your number one pick is mimosas. The other beverages you see at brunches, you'll see the Bloody Marys. You'll see the screwdrivers. You'll see, you know, different types of cocktails, but I like to have a Guinness with my brunch. So my number three pick is in St. Patrick's Day as we record. So appropriately enough, I got to pick myself a Guinness.
It's a nice, strong beer. Pairs great with breakfast items. So the Irish knew what they were doing. The Irish definitely knew what they were doing with that beer.
God bless Sir Arthur Guinness.
All right, so I gotta start strengthening my core here. At number three, man, there's so many places to go. You know what? I'm just gonna go with the basic egg sandwich. It's the combination of lunch and breakfast right there. So, okay. Egg sandwich. You can do a lot of. It's a lot of variety when you go with that one. So, a strong, tried and true brunch. Like if you think of brunch, this is a brunch item. In my head.
Brunch or Brenner.
Or Brenner.
Well, breakfast, dinner, Brenner. Can't go wrong with either.
I don't know what it is. I think just getting older, you just get more excited about having breakfast for dinner. You're just like, F this. I'm just going to have breakfast for dinner today. I'm going to break the rules here. So
rules are meant to be broken, my friend.
Exactly that. Exactly that. Obviously, I'm from the South. Everybody knows, well, most people should know that, especially my love for the state of Texas. But I got to pick this at some point, and that is, of course, grits. If grits is available, I'm getting it. I'm just going to say that right now. I love grits. Mix it in with some jam, however you want to fix. I personally like to make it a little sweeter, but definitely a big fan of the grits.
You know, I've been to the South a couple times. I've been to North Carolina a bunch of times, although it's coastal North Carolina, so I don't really count it as North Carolina. Been to Virginia, been to Georgia. I've never had grits. Am I missing? How bad am I missing out?
Look, I don't know. It depends. How do you feel about oatmeal?
I like oatmeal.
Okay. I feel like it's around that same category. It's like a porridge, I guess, I think that's what it technically is. So, okay. But
kind,
I don't know.
Kind of similar to the Asian kanji, kind of like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so I would feel like it's just something you just grew up on it. You were just raised on it. You know, especially a lot of the households that I've been able to hang out with, there's always grits available, and everyone has their own style of way. I think grits, you have a little bit more variety than it is with oatmeal, though, because I feel like oatmeal is always on the sweeter side of things. But with grits, you can, you know, add a little spice to it depending on how you want to fix it up for yourself. But also, it's a good food to feel like you're being healthy, but in reality, you're not. So there's also that.
I mean, you mix in with the butter and the carbs. You get fat in your carbs right there. So if you're tracking macros, yeah, that's where it's at.
Definitely. Grits. I'm proud of that pick.
Yep. All right. So my number four pick. My last pick was a Guinness, and continuing with the Irish theme, because of course my last name is McCarthy, and my first name's Ryan, so of course I'm Irish. I'm of that persuasion. Potatoes, like a roasted potatoes, or what I like to do is that when we do brunch, a family brunch, my sister will make a breakfast braid with some eggs and some cheese and some bacon. We'll bring some, we'll do some waffles. I make this bomb potato pancetta leek hash. There's typically not any leftovers at all. It's this awesome recipe that I saw on, was it Aaron McCargo, the chef Aaron McCargo. I saw it in his program from Food Network for years back. I tried it. I made it myself, and there are hardly any leftovers when we do family brunch. So
I wish I was that efficient when it comes to like watching Food Network. I just watch Food Network. I never like actually think about doing the recipes or stuff like that. My brother does that. Actually, the one summer when we finally got cable in the house, because I mean it was just this one summer where we just happened to have cable. And I remember me and my brother were flipping through channels and the Food Network popped on. And I don't know why, but that entire summer we just watched Food Network. You know, Cartoon Network was available. Nickelodeon was available. Hell, Disney Channel was available. Nah, we're watching the Food Network channel. That's what we're watching. And never once thought about, hey, let me try this. My brother, on the other hand, was like, I think I can make that. Mind you, we're also like 11 and 12. Mm-hmm. Then we found out my brother's actually a pretty good cook. So that was an interesting summer there. But I wish I had that kind of like sense of urgency to want to do that.
It's inspiration. It was inspiration. That's what it was.
Exactly. For my brother, not for me.
Yeah.
All right. So fifth pick.
My number five pick. I'm going to continue with the pork theme. I'm going to go with sausage. And it can't be like sausage patties. Can't be. It's got to be sausage links. And so I always associate breakfast with sausage links, and it can't be like the stuff in the box at the grocery store, like the Jones. I mean, that'll do at a pinch, Swift Premium. No, it's gotta be like the authentic butcher, like the butcher. Get the stuff from the butchers, like the big thick links. And they're awesome. They're awesome. So sausage is my number five pick.
Okay, I'm gonna say an honorable mention because I feel like you taking potatoes takes the whole every category off the board. I was gonna say hash browns. I'm a big sucker for hash browns, but like I said, you got potatoes, so I think that definitely takes it off the board. So, man, where do I go from here for the last pick? Because this is, you know what? I love it. I only get this for breakfast, and that's of course a bagel.
Okay.
There's a restaurant here in Houston. It's actually called New York Bagels, of all things. but it was like a tradition that me, my brother, and my dad, like, whenever we have like our, I guess like a once a year annual meetup, because we my dad lives pretty far out from Houston, so whenever we do, my dad loves going to this. This guy knows us because he's known us since we were kids. And so we always go to New York Bagels because it's my dad's favorite place to go eat. And that's probably like when I started eating bagels, because like I never saw the appeal of a bagel until I started going there. And I was boring. I was picking like the plain or the cinnamon. Now I'm all about like the all-in-one bagel, the one that has
everything bagel. Yep.
Yeah. So now like as I grew up. I grew up, Ryan, yeah. like yeah. you know, like we all do. But ever since then, I've realized the why I get it now. I get why people love bagels so much, because it's just a wide variety of it.
Yeah, I'm of course in the Northeast, so bagels are a huge staple, especially in New York. And I will go on record and say this: hot take time, hot take coming in fast. New Jersey bagels are better than New York City bagels.
I'm gonna have to experience that.
You're gonna have to. You are going to have to. Yeah.
All right. I'm gonna definitely remember that if I ever end up in New York, for sure. But all right, that's the draft. I feel like Ryan won. Ryan is the brunch expert. Ryan has some really strong picks. I'm over here choosing alcoholism and eggs.
What's wrong with that? hey, man, live your life.
That's literally what brunch is for. It's because you woke up late. That's why you're going to brunch.
You woke up late. The bars aren't open yet, but you can have alcohol at brunch.
Exactly that. But all right, thank you, Ryan, for coming on. This is now your time. to go ahead and shamelessly plug whatever you want, what's going on with no credentials required.
All right. So no credentials required. We are live on myself and Dustin. We are my co-host. We are live at 8 o'clock on Tuesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern. We do morning brunch sometimes. So we're going throughout the up until football season, until the NFL season begins. We'll do every other Saturday for the Saturday brunch. Once the NFL season kicks in, we're going to do every week through the end of the regular season into the playoffs. So yeah, join us. And we also have on our YouTube channel, every so often I'll do a special segment, which we won't put in the podcast, although I'm going to put into podcast form. I just started it recently. It's called 10 Good Minutes, where I sit down with someone from Belly Up or a friend of mine or someone I know from the sports world. Going to be dropping some interviews with the locally here with the I'm in Albany, New York. So we got the Albany Firewolves, which is the local National Lacrosse League team. Got the arena football starting up, so we're going to have plenty of interviews. We're going to try to get more interviews. Got a lot of interviews here, hopefully, with the Albany Firebirds. Can't wait for them to come back. And yeah, just check us out. We would invite you to subscribe to the podcast, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Stop on by. You won't be disappointed. We put together quality sports talk every single show. I don't think you won't be disappointed.
Yeah, definitely one of my favorite shows on the Belly Up family. Thanks, Ryan, Hector. Super knowledgeable. Lots of knowledge on multiple sports, because you guys don't just cover football. You guys cover a lot of other sports. Also, I'm learning the theme of Albany is fire.
Yep.
So that's pretty awesome. But obviously, Ryan, thank you so much. And guys, make sure you guys check out No Credentials Required. Highly recommend it.
Thank you, Hector.
All right. Thank you so much, Ryan, for coming on. Five-a-side draft. Brunch Essentials. I think it was a very fun draft, man. I love anything that deals with food. But in hindsight, next time whenever I do a five-a-side draft involving food, I should probably eat before I do it, because I was starving. And it doesn't help that we were talking about food. So thank you for Ryan to come on. Check out No Credentials Required, man. Lots of fun on that podcast. It is a great American sports podcast over there at Belly Up Sports. And check out Belly Up Sports, man. www.com, bellyupsports.com. Lots of great articles that are constantly written. It's March Madness. If you guys want to get in the know of what's going on for that big college basketball tournament, check out at bellyupsports.com. Also, check them out on Instagram and X at bellyupmedia and at bellyupsports. Once again, you'll find us on there as well. Check out their YouTube channel. You'll find clips from the Insert Name FC episodes over on there as well. So, and of course, with all the great variety of shows that are available on bellyupsports. Also, check out Goals TV. You got to hear Jose Tejas earlier on in the episode. Great guy. One of the, I love his vision for what he has for Goals TV, and I really have been enjoying being part of that journey. You're going to find me on some of their original programs, Yanks in the Roundtable and Wake Up MLS. Lots of great content. Lots of great content creators over there at Goals TV trying to grow soccer here in the United States. Follow them on Instagram at golz.tv. Once again, at golz.tv. Check them out on the X at golz_TV. Once again, golz_TV. And, I mean, I can't end this episode without constantly thanking this person, Roosevelt Spencer. He is the person that creates the intros, the outros for this podcast. Most of the time, it's just me coming up with an idea that I want him to make a beat for, and he just does it, and it is always amazing to me. The content, the amount of beats that this guy can do for us. So if you guys hear our intros and outros and you guys want a little bit of it, well, check him out on Instagram at That Guy Dope. Once again, at That Guy Dope, and hit him up with a message and he'll hook you up with some sick beats, man. So that's all I got, man. Thank you so much for listening to episode 168. Catch us next week for episode 169. Very nice. It might be a special episode for me, not because it's 169, but it is. I'm working on something to make it a really special episode for me. So, be ready for that one. But once again, thank you so much for listening. Catch us next week. Take care, guys.